I'm Rob, and I'm a lead pastor. Welcome to East Lake. It's a church for everyone because Jesus invites everyone to follow him. This is the last week in our series, Follow. You can go online and review if you want to, catch a talk if you missed it. Here's the point. We get to know Jesus as we follow him. We experience him as we follow him. Following is about having a relationship. Learning to follow Jesus is a process, just like every relationship is a process. And sometimes in that process to get to know Jesus, he asks us to take one small, uncomfortable step or do something different than we've ever done it before, how we normally do it. In the series, we talked about Jesus is also like a shepherd. He referred to himself like a shepherd. That means we have someone to guide us, not just something to guide us. The Bible is a map. We talked about how important it is to get into the journals that we have. They're free. You can get them anytime you want when you come to a live service. And they're the map, but they're different than someone. Someone, a shepherd is someone that we follow. And as we follow Jesus, there will be these moments of decision. These times we stand at the crossroad, and it's either I say yes to Jesus or not. And in those moments, Jesus described it as picking up your cross and carrying it every day. It's beyond uncomfortable. In this moment of decision, when you have to decide, when you're at the place where are you going to follow or not, am I saying yes to Jesus, it's denying yourself. And it does sort of feel like maybe what it would, the pain of being on a cross. When Jesus said a cross, there were two types of crosses, and one was the Roman cross. It was very painful. At this time, everybody would have known what a cross was. Lots and lots of people had died on the cross. It was agony, it was terror, it was torture, and then you died. But when Jesus talked about the cross, he wasn't talking about the Roman cross of the day. He was talking about his cross. And his cross, although painful, although difficult, did not end in death. There was resurrection. And when you're in a moment of decision to follow Jesus, have a moment of decision in that moment, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be comfortable. It's going to be painful to deny myself. But if I'm able to go through the experience and get to the other side, there's resurrection. When Jesus died on the cross, it didn't end in death. It was a resurrection. And so when we're following Jesus, it's about a relationship. It has nothing to do with something religion. We have someone to follow. So the big question for us has been, am I following? I was talking to some guys last week, and one of the guys said, you know, I want to follow, but how do I know what God wants me to do? And since I'm following one, how do I know? If I'm following someone, how do I know? So the big idea this weekend, I follow with my heart. Notice I didn't say I follow my heart. My heart's not the leader. I follow with my heart. And the condition of my heart influences my ability to follow. Jesus told a story in the Bible, we're going to read it, that sort of gives some ideas about what it means to follow with my heart. I'll read it to you. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciple asked him what the parable meant. And so they're listening to it. They're trying to catch on, but they're not sure. What do you mean by this, Jesus? And so Jesus breaks it down. The farmer is Jesus himself. The seed is God's voice, and the soil is my heart. And notice the farmer is the same in every aspect of the story. The seed is the same in every aspect of the story. The only thing that changes is the soil. Only the seed changes. It's the only variable. So that means the soil makes a bigger difference than the messenger or the message. Because Jesus wants to make sure everybody understands, they're all listening, he says, hey, I'm the farmer, and the seed is God's voice, and the soil is my heart, and the soil is the thing that changes. Let me explain it to you. So he goes on. This is the meaning of the parable, and now here's Jesus talking. The seed is the word of God. So what that means is, just like as we see in the story, the farmer spreads the seed everywhere. Everyone has an opportunity to follow and to hear God talk, to be led. Not just religious people, not just people who go to church. Jesus speaks to everyone. So you may have thought, well, he'll never talk to me. But the truth is, he will talk to you. You don't earn the right to hear God's word. It's a gift. So the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So here's the thing. Those along the path represents the times in my life when I have a hard heart. My heart is just like a path, and God's voice can't get in. So the seed gets trampled on. These birds swoop down and grab it. And what it's saying is that when my heart is like a path, God's word can't get in. It can't get in. It's just on the top, it's just too hard. God's word can't get in. And I develop a heart like a path when people walk on top of me. If you think about a path, people walk on it, 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 and the path just gets more compressed and harder and compact. And that's what my heart gets like when people walk on me. I get unfeeling and indifferent, cold, calloused. And maybe someone does something minor, or maybe they do something really major to me, but every time I rehash it in my mind, my heart just gets more and more like a path. It's like I walk on it back and forth. I rehash it, what they did to me. I'm walking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the path gets more and more compact, and it can be like a construction project, very, very consistent. It's like I'm building the path, and the truth is I construct my heart. And when I keep rehashing what someone has done to me, what person or incident do you keep rehashing? And I know, boy, does it ever feel normal to do it? And it gives the enemy an opportunity to steal God's word. The Bible says the enemy is the father of lies. Maybe you believe in a devil, maybe you don't. One thing to think about, though, is that when it, like believing in a devil, Jesus believed in a devil. So if you think he's great and cool and has lots of good things to say, is really, really super smart, and he's God, well, just know that he believed in a devil. He believed that there was a devil, and Jesus even said that the enemy was the father of lies. And so those are the birds coming down. They pull God's word out and replace it with lies. I can believe a lot of lies when I'm rehashing old hurts. Sometimes the enemy lies to me about somebody else. He says, they never loved you. Or they're going to get away with what they did to you, and nobody's ever going to find out. Or sometimes the devil lies directly to me about me. Like in my brain, I hear these things, my life's not going anywhere. And my kids are in big trouble because I'm a terrible parent. I let everybody down. I even let myself down. Are any lies trampling you? The problem is when my heart becomes like a path, it's hard. I can hear the lies, but I can't hear Jesus. Jesus can show me how to get back to having a soft heart. What's he saying? Forgiveness. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. What he's saying is you'll never be able to forgive other people until you are forgiven. All the different things that happen, they cause your heart to be like a path. When you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your attitude, and once you have forgiveness inside of you, you'll be able to forgive the person that hurt you in the first place. When my heart's like a path, I can't forgive anyone because there's no forgiveness in me. The key to forgiving someone is to first be forgiven. And then you'll have forgiveness to give. If you come to me and say, hey, I'd like to borrow $5 and I don't have any money to give you, I don't even have $1, then I can't give you what I don't have. But if my friend comes by and says, hey, someone's going to need this today from you, here's $5, and later in the day someone comes and says, can I borrow $5? Aha, I have $5 I can give. Now, here's the point. You have to receive forgiveness before you can give forgiveness. And if you receive forgiveness, you'll have a soft heart. And God's voice, his word, will be able to get in. Now, let's move on and read a little bit more of the scripture. So here's right here. It says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So there's this rocky soil where Jesus lived in Jerusalem and around that part of Israel. There was a very thin layer of topsoil. Then right underneath it was all these rocks. And you had to remove the rocks. You had to dig out the rocks if you wanted roots to go down for a plant to be able to grow. In the shallow soil, the roots would go down and they'd hit these rocks and the plant would never grow. And here's the thing, relationships don't just automatically grow. They can stay shallow. You hit a problem or a crisis and the relationship is too shallow to handle it. It happens in families, it happens in friendships, it happens in a marriage. And my relationship with Jesus can stay shallow. People go to church for years, but their relationship with Jesus never changes. They're unable to follow when life tests them. They don't have any root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And when the test comes, it's an opportunity to remove some of the rocks, to let my root go down deeper. As I'm following Jesus, he takes me through a test. When the test arrives about a month ago, maybe a little longer, at my work, some people came in and they wanted to buy something. You might know I sell cars. I'm a car salesman, which is weird because I've always been a pastor, but right now I'm bivocational. So I like have the worst jobs. I mean, not anybody likes pastors and nobody likes car salesmen. So I like my jobs, but other people don't like my jobs. Anyways, I'm a car salesman. So these people come in, they want to buy a car. So I'm talking with them, kind of a young girl and her boyfriend. She's all tatted up, and I really like them. We picked out this car. They just thought it was awesome. So they're going to get this car. And at some point in the process, there was just a few questions about their finances. So a manager had to come over there and talk to them about their credit application, how they're going to pay for things. And so he sits down, and he starts to talk to this girl. And he was it was amazing how rude he was to her. As it turns out, she had spent some money to have a breast implant. And so he asked her questions about that right in front of me and her boyfriend. Very rude, very insensitive. He's asking her how she's going to pay for it, what's going to happen. It's just, I mean, her face is just like, really? You're talking to me? You know, and so anyways, he does all that stuff. And, you know, he leaves and I'm just in shock and they're in shock. And I couldn't even believe that it happened. We finally get everything done and happy ending, and she gets the car she wants, and we part as friends, and everything's fantastic. And about an hour later, I went into a room where a lot of the managers hang out, and he was in there. This guy was in there. This manager was in there. He's sitting back in his chair, feet up on one of the desks, playing on his phone, and he says in front of everybody, that girl, you know what the problem was? She bought a rack. Can you imagine that? She financed a rack and proceeds to tell everybody that she is a stripper. And I tell you, I couldn't even believe it that he had said that. I just like, you know, the rest of the day I just kept thinking, God, well, I can't believe he told her in private business that she's a stripper, that she, you know, paid to have this done. And so I'm thinking about it. I get off work. I'm thinking about it. And finally, later that night, I realized this isn't just me thinking about this. God's thinking about this. And that's when the Lord told me, I want you to confront him in the morning. And at first I'm thinking, I don't mind confronting him. He needs to be knocked on his butt. But on the other hand, I thought, well, he's a manager. I just don't go confront my manager and talk about it. You know, I'm at the crossroads. Am I going to dig out some rocks? Are the roots going to go deeper? All of a sudden, I'm in the middle of a test. Am I going to say yes or not? I'm in my moment of decision. So I go to work the next day. I'm early, and nobody's there. I mean, I'm the only one there. And here comes this manager. Shocking of all shocking. God would set up an opportunity for you to obey the thing that he asked you to do, but that's another point. Here comes the manager walking down the hallway right by my desk. Here comes the moment of truth. Am I saying yes? Am I not saying yes? Am I going to do it? And, I said, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second? Sure. You know, he sits down at my desk. I said, and I decided, okay, right between the eyes. I thought you were really rude to that girl yesterday, bringing up that stuff in front of her boyfriend and I. Oh, wait, he stops. Wait a minute, Robin, wait a minute. You know, like you and I, we go to church. We're like religious guys. But that girl and lots of girls like her, you probably don't understand this, Robin, but a lot of them are proud of what they do. I didn't do anything wrong by saying that in front of her. She probably was really proud that she's a dancer. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? You shared her private confidential information with a bunch of the other managers. You told them that she was a stripper and that she bought a rack, and that was not your place to tell them her confidential information about her life. And boy, you should have seen his face go white. He mumbled something and tried to change the subject onto something else. And I said, and let me tell you something else. I said, that's one of God's daughters. That's one of God's children. You have kids. How would you like it if someone spoke about your daughter like that to some other men? And a little while after that, he thanked me. He just stopped what he was talking about. He said, thank you. I needed to be told that. But I mean, I was just like, whew, I'm glad I didn't get fired. You know, and it's like, but I mean, it was a moment of decision. I mean, the question was, during that test, was I going to go forward with Jesus or not? And because I did, I grew some. My root went down a little further. See, and this isn't something I could have done at first. I mean, you don't go deep all at once. I mean, it's passing one test after another. Every time you're tested, it's an opportunity to dig out some of the rocks. So your roots can go down deeper so you don't fall away. Some people ask, how come I can't stay on track and follow Jesus? I follow for a while, and I fall away. I fall for a while, and I fall away. Backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards. It's because when they come up to the moment of decision, when it's time for them to move through the test that has occurred, they don't move through it. And so back they go. And then God sets up another opportunity, and they don't go through it. And so back they go. One of the reasons I ask people to read these little journals that we have, it takes 10 minutes a day, and I know I probably feel like, well, that's setting a pretty, low bar, asking people to just read the Bible 10 minutes a day. Here's the important thing. At least you have a bar. At least there's something to come up to. Something to remove some of the rocks. What test are you in right now? And you're standing right in the midst of it. And are you going to go forward with Jesus, or are you not going to go forward with Jesus? Because if you don't, not only won't you won't grow, you'll go backwards. But if you do, you'll remove some of the rocks, and the condition of your heart will change. Remember, I hear God with my heart. I follow God with my heart. My heart stays like a path. The enemy comes and rips God's word right out of there. I never even have a chance. If my heart doesn't grow, it stays rocky. That's not the type of heart that can follow God. Here's the next one. The seed that fell among the thorns. So this part right here, seed among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Circle do not mature. Do not mature. So what it means is they never grow up on the inside. They never mature into a different person. And by the way, roses have thorns and blackberries have thorns. There's nothing wrong with thorns as long as you don't get stuck by them. Think about how carefully we handle a rose. You slow down and you watch what you're doing. No one just grabs a rose unless it's some little toddler who's too immature to understand the danger. Jesus says, be careful how you handle these things, worries and riches and pleasure. What are you worried about? Nothing wrong with being concerned. If I just sit and worry and worry and worry, it can choke the life out of me. When someone gets choked, it squeezes the air out of them. They can't breathe. When you can't breathe, everything gets shut down. I follow Jesus with my heart, but if my focus is to get more money and more pleasure, they overwhelm my ability to hear Jesus or even follow him. Do you spend all your money on yourself? How far will you go to make sure you get your pleasure? It doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything from video games to hunting to playing golf to porn. That's how I get my pleasure. If I don't handle money and pleasure carefully, they begin to compete with Jesus. I start to do anything to get more money or pleasure, and Jesus gets squeezed out. So here's the thing. You'll have to have some limits. You have to be able to decide what type of pleasure is okay and how much pleasure can you have. You'll have to have Jesus help you be generous. And generosity means to give money that you're not obligated to give. There was a study that came out of the most generous states in the United States, and Utah came out number one because so many people here give money. Here's the thing. Are they obligated to give it? Is it really generosity? Because generosity is when I give and I'm not obligated to give. If I'm careful with money and pleasure and how much I worry, Jesus doesn't get squeezed out, and I'll be able to hear and follow him. And then here's the last one. But the seed that goes on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, circle that, and are persevering. They produce a crop. Very positive. Jesus says it's possible to hear the word and retain the word. When I follow Jesus, he gives me a good and noble heart. It's not that I get a good and noble heart and then I follow Jesus, or I get a good and noble heart and then I can hear God. It's if I follow Jesus, he gives me a good and noble heart, and then I can follow God. And the seed produces a crop. Now here's a couple takeaways that are on your outline. We'll just rip through them. Number one, who I am now matters most. The farmer's not concerned what the soil was like last year, the year before, or 5 years ago, or 6 months ago, or 1 week ago. It's the same farmer and the same seed. The condition of the soil matters now. What is the soil like right now matters most, because that's what you're planting the seed in now. And doesn't now get away from you? You exercise, you eat right, you do all sorts of things about for a month, and then you have a bad week. Guess what? That's now. But it's the same thing on the positive side. You have a bad attitude, you haven't been doing well, you can change that right now. If you follow Jesus, now can be different, and now's what matters most. Number two, what I do now determines the outcome. Good news, you're not locked into your past. It's the same farmer, it's the same seed, but what you do now decides your future, not what you did in the past. We don't become good so we can follow Jesus. We become good as we follow Jesus. And who I am now and what I do now matters the most. We follow God with our heart, and what I decide right now matters most. There's an old story about a man that went to live in a monastery because he wanted to become holy. So he got into the monastery and he didn't feel like things were going very well. So he asked one of the senior members of this society if there was somebody in this monastery that could give him the one secret, could just tell him, what's the one thing I have to do to be right with God and have the right kind of life? I want to do all this. And so they assigned him this one older man. He's supposed to meet this man in the morning at 6 a.m. at this place in the chapel. He says, meet him there, and he'll have the answer for you. He's going to show you the one thing that you just have to do. It's the thing that makes us all come together. So he shows up at 6 a.m. Here comes this older, one of the brothers there. He's been living in the monastery forever, and you know, that's his thing. And he's one of the padres, and he comes walking up. His hands are behind him, and he looks at the young man. The young man says, well, what is it you have for me? And the man pulls out a stick and smacks him and yells, now! And the kid says, what? And he smacks him again and says, now! And the kid starts running, and they see this old man chasing this kid, 19, 20 years old, around the monastery, swinging the stick at him, and he's yelling, now! Now! Kind of intense, but that's the word picture. You know what matters right now? That's what matters. Not yesterday, not to tomorrow. That now matters. So here's the bottom line. The condition of my heart determines the quality of my relationship. It's all about my heart. Same seed, same farmer. It's the condition of my heart that determines the quality of my relationship with Jesus.